Welcome back to Western Standard Time. This is your co-host, Big Ben, and it's been well documented now that there is scandal in baseball, potential cheating, and who's going to take the blame? None other than Rob Manfred. He is on the hot seat as Major League Baseball's commissioner. So what did we do here at WST Podcast? We sent our own baseball aficionado and my co-host, Kay Wynn, in to interview for the potential position. Listen in as we hear the questions that Kay Wynn will be asked, and you can also determine for yourself if he would be a good next commissioner of baseball. That starts right now. Mr. Wynn, thank you for joining us here on Skype for our, let's not call them official, potential commissioner interviews for Major League Baseball. I understand you have signed an NDA.
I have. And thank you for having me. I'm coming to you live from sunny San Diego. A part of my ballot and my measures for commissioner is to bring back baseball and support for West Coast teams. Because our current commissioner, all he does is sit in his New York Times Square office and never comes out west.
Well, that's a one way to start off an interview, Mr. Wynn.
Saw the Democratic presidential candidate. You got to go for the throat. Go for the jugular.
Let's hope you do better than
Bloomberg on this.
Let's hope you do better than Bloomberg, Mr. Wynn. Let's start here, Mr. Wynn. Is that your real name?
My first name is Kyle. My last name is Wynn.
Can you please disclose your middle name?
Michael, KMW, Kyle Michael Wynn.
First question, Mr. Wynn, and most important, have you ever been convicted of theft, robbery, collusion, and or larceny in your life?
No, I have not. A clean record, sir.
I believe there was one mention of you stealing a Snickers early on in life. We'll consider that petty and move on.
I'm more of a Twix guy.
Tell us what would make you a good commissioner, Mr. Wynn.
First off, I'd like to say Rob Manfred, he's been in the seat for 6 years, impeccable resume. Cornell undergrad, Harvard Law, he lives and works out of the New York office. But there is a blemish on his record. It's how he handled the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal.
Three times fast.
You know what the problem is? You cheat in the Olympics, you get disqualified, your medal goes away. You cheat in college basketball, your wins get vacated, your banners get ripped down. You cheat in Major League Baseball, you win a World Series, you might even get AL MVP. That's where the commissioner went wrong. That's where I'm going to come in, clean up the sport, and give baseball, make it America's greatest pastime again.
I like the slogan, Mr. Wynn. We've had multiple candidates come in with similar slogans, though. So tell me, Mr. Wynn, a little bit more about yourself. What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie is Major League. Quite ironic, because I will be the commissioner of Major League Baseball.
And your favorite TV show?
Blacklist on NBC. Raymond Reddington, notorious criminal, comes onto the other side and helps the FBI capture criminals.
All right. Well, Mr. Wynn, as you stated, you would be the 11th commissioner of this historic league, Major League Baseball. Give me some things that you may implement from day one. Change things up. You mentioned making baseball great again.
So it's a three-pronged approach. When I come in day one, I'm very confident I'm going to win this job. So day one, I'm going to do three things. Kay Wynn, the players commish. Number one, Barry Bonds, Hall of Fame. Number two, Pete Rose, Hall of Fame. Number three, 2017 Houston Astros title, that piece of metal, that World Series title, vacated. Ego, I'm taking that off. In 1994, Major League Baseball had a strike. There was no playoffs. There was no World Series winner. There is precedence. We do not have to have a World Series winner. So just like 94, 2017, I'm not giving the trophy to the Dodgers. I'm not giving it to my beloved Padres. I'm vacating the trophy. There are no winners.
That is progressive, Mr. Wynn. There's been talks of potential expansion in baseball. Now, would you go as far to say it is right to find an owner that may have known that a team was cheating and or a scandal so big that overall franchise can't be trusted any longer? The entire city of Houston can't be trusted any longer. And what cities specifically, if there were changes to be made, you might award franchises to?
We're going to Vegas, baby. The Knights are there. They're successful. The Raiders going this year. I think we need baseball in Las Vegas. That is city number one. City number two, Nashville, the country capital of the world. They've got hockey. They've got football. They need baseball. Those are the two markets I want to go in on. Taylor Swift, she might even be general manager of Nashville. Those are the two markets I'm hitting. As far as the Astros, they made a mistake. They somewhat apologized, not as much as everyone liked. I just hope they can do the right thing going forward. They can own up to their mistakes. And slowly but surely, they have to win back the trust. I think they can do it each and every day. But they got to be patient because these fans are upset.
Talk to me about the DH. Now, it's been said that having pitchers swapping, position swaps, people coming in and out of the lineup, there's now a rule where pitcher has to face at least three batters. What would you do with the DH long term?
I love the DH. I love National League Baseball. I love the strategy around it. The pitcher's got to hit. The pitcher's got to learn how to bunt. It makes the game better, in my opinion. Everyone's talking about the pace of play. Everyone's talking about the games are too long. Well, the National League games are actually shorter because you don't have 1 through 9 great hitters. You've got to do strategy. You've got to do situational play. I'm coming in and I'm removing the DH from the AL. I'm implementing the DH. DH, both leagues, we're getting back to the basics. Pitcher's got to hit. Pitcher's got to bunt. And you know what? All this throwing inside, throwing at people, if the pitcher's got a hit, you have a chance to get him back.
And I hope Big Poppy doesn't have your phone number here, K-Win. What about minor leaguers making peanuts? It's been said that minor leaguers cannot live in the offseason off the wages that they make during the actual season. So reduction of overall teams, in theory, should mean more popularity for the sport as a whole in the minor league system, potentially. How do you solve the fact that people or players who aren't in the majors are subsequently left living at home during the offseason, washing dishes and or finding something else to do, seasonal work? How do we correct that?
So I think this isn't a problem just with Major League Baseball. I think it's a problem with all sports that have minor leagues. You know, you can call the G League, but that's a minor league program. They've got some other stuff with soccer. They've got some hockey leagues. I think we just have to do a better job of picking markets that are sustainable and can grow. And then maybe we can offer a little revenue sharing as well. I know these owners, I know I work for the owners, but the owners need to help out a little bit and allocate a little bit of extra money to give to their farm league systems so that they can sprinkle it out and raise the salaries. Step one is raising the salaries. Step two is just building a better product. If we have a better product in these markets that thrive, revenue will go up and we'll be able to pay our players much better, more money. If not, they can come intern at WST. We've got plenty of things to edit. We've got plenty of social media posts. Highly lucrative in the terms of equity, not in terms of cash in their pocket.
What exactly would you do? Some may say that the season is too long. There's 162 games, people paying attention in May. There's the start of the season. It's almost the opposite of a bell curve here, where you get middle of season, there's dragging on, players are getting hurt, there's not the draw. We haven't seen subsequently what we've seen in the NBA, which is what we call load management, but we could see that. But we, as of recent, we've seen big stars, proverbial great players on different teams, not be able to play a full season. How do you address the idea that the season is too long?
The season is long, but this has been standard from day one. I don't want to make a change to this. I don't want to interfere with the purity of baseball. It's a long season. It starts when it gets cold, then it gets hot, then it gets cold again. We're going to stick with it. We're just going to clean up some things on the field, clean up the pace of play, and everything's going to be all right. People complain that the NBA season's too long. The NFL's trying to add more games. I think our season is great. I think to understand a true winner, they've got to go through the 6-month process. They got to go through the highs and lows. The season changes. And you know what? For us to pay the minor league players, we cannot cut back on the major league schedule. We need to keep the schedule. We need to keep that revenue and use that revenue to help out our minor league system.
Let's talk about call-ups. There's a lot of talk of September call-ups, getting players up into the system, getting them assimilated to the major leagues. And a lot of people have said, you know, it's too late. September's too late in the season. They don't get an accurate depiction of a player when you're shrinking the overall amount of minor leaguers you're going to have. Some would say that, you know, the opportunity to find a needle in a haystack in terms of developing a player becomes less. And what do you do with the September call-ups? Do we move them forward? Do we allow for less? Do we allow for more?
I think we keep it. So the September call-ups, that's on the professional team. They don't have to wait till September to call these players up. The reason is they wait is because they want to limit their service time so that it prevents them from becoming free agents. They can call them up whenever they want. They also can scout these players during the year. They can have them play more games in spring training. I'm going to keep the call-ups the same. It's on the owners and the players to scout, figure it out who's best for their team. Don't wait for September if you need an impact. Don't be so tight strung with your pockets. Get the players up that deserve to play, that can help your team win.
Now, the last question I have for you is, there's been a lot of talk from the players specifically about the scandal in Houston. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you, as coming as a commish, I believe most would say Rob Manfred has not addressed the issue, but rather let it labor. And it has resulted in many players, quite frankly, being targeted by the general public in the way of anger, in the way of threats towards those players. What do you do from day one to come in and address that issue? And you talked about taking away or stripping them of the title, no title, but what more at the player level do you do in terms of vindication, I guess you would say, amongst the other players, that there was an appropriate punishment given out for the terms or what we're talking about here around cheating?
I think transparency is the key. You know, these players have immunity. I can't come in and rip the immunity away. But what I can do is I can create a memo. I can create a document that stays inside of Major League Baseball, and it informs the players of what happened, what the penalties were, what goes on. It can't be leaked. It stays in-house. The players just really want answers because they don't know if the investigation was 2017, if it includes 18, if it includes 19, playoffs, regular season. So they're left guessing. They're thinking and assuming a lot because they don't have answers. I'm going to give them the answers in the form of a confidentiality internal memo. And if they forward that memo or if they reply all to that memo, they will be gone from Major League Baseball.
So you've never used the BCC line in email. That's good to know, Mr. K1. Well, that concludes this interview. I'd like to thank you for fully qualifying and or interviewing and or looking at us as a potential next role in your career. Quite a jump from what you're doing today. But I will say, great interview. And WST Podcast greatly appreciates your time and you giving us these files for you to listen during this interview.
Great.
Manfred's position.
Why don't you tell the fans where they can hear more from WST Podcast?
WST _ podcast on Instagram, on Twitter, Facebook. You can grab us and download us from Stitcher. You can download us from Spotify, Apple iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, you can listen to us. WST _ podcast. K-Win and Big Ben giving you the lowdown on a potential Manfred move. And K-Win sliding in. Boom.
Boom.